All right, open your Bible, please, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. There was a story told about reconciliation some years ago on a New Year's Eve in London's Garrick Club. There was a British dramatist named Frederick Lonsdale. I don't know who he was. But he was asked by Seymour Hicks. I don't know who he was either. But they'd been having a fight with another member. And they'd just been at odds for several years. So on this New Year's Eve, they said, I want you to go over and be friends with that guy. Apologize. New Year's Eve. Be reconciled to him. Reconcile your differences and get along. So Lonsdale said, okay, I will. And he walked over to his enemy and said, I wish you a happy new year, but only one. There you go. That's reconciliation, not the kind that we were going to look at today. Chapter 5, please. And we're going to start reading in verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, now pay attention, if you underline your Bible, underline this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God. Now, pay attention to that phrase. Everything we're talking about is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Put an exclamation mark there. Hallelujah. He doesn't count our trespasses against us. And he entrusting us to us the message. We are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, you've heard those phrases before. You've heard that in about six different sermons from me. You've heard those verses only one piece at a time. I'm not going to patch them all together, but I'm going to make a couple of idea remarks to you so you can kind of get the picture of what Paul is telling the Corinthians. Now, he was fairly well convinced that the Corinthians were saved. Well, some of them. He was convinced that Christ had died for all of them. He was sure of that. But he was not quite sure that Christ was the Lord of all of them. And what this has prompted a lot of people to think is that there is something going on more than just being saved. And there is. There are some people who are going to sit in church for their whole life, and they are never going to come to a place where they have said, Lord Jesus, I want you to control my life. I want you to forgive my sin. I trust you as Savior and as Lord. Now, some people, as we've already seen in the judgment seat of Christ passage, are going to get to heaven, but they're going to be singed. Their pin feathers are going to be scorched. They're not going to have any reward. They're not going to have anything other than heaven. Now, that sounds silly. Of course they're going to have heaven. That's going to be wonderful in itself. But as we saw in the book of Revelation, there's more than just getting in the door. We will have rewards, we will have honors, because we have served a living Lord here. And because we serve Him, we get rewards when we get to heaven. And people will argue about the rewards. Well, we answered those back then. The Bible is the one that said it, not me. And there, the Scripture is the guiding point for us. So, we're looking at, if any man is in Christ, or any woman is in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Now, when we stop and analyze that passage, if I want to be different, if I want my life to count for something, I've got to be in Christ. I've got to be, what's our Baptist word? Saved. I've got to be saved. And in order to be saved, I have to acknowledge the death of Christ on the cross, His burial, His resurrection, which we're coming up early this year. April 4th is Easter Sunday. Palm Sunday will be the end of March. Boy, that's quick. That's going to get here before Christmas, last I looked. But it's fast. It's coming up real quickly. And the resurrection is the thing that we have to depend on. That resurrection was a new life. Jesus laid down the flesh, it was buried, and when He rose again, He had a new body. He was a new creation. He still looked like Jesus. He still had nail prints in His hands, but He was different. Time and space had no grasp on Him. He could be on the road to Emmaus 1 minute. He could be back in Jerusalem the next minute. He could be somewhere else the next minute. It was just one of those amazing things that the disciples were able to see that we can't. So if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Now we cannot, and I want to emphasize this, this is not science fiction. We cannot be transported from one spot to the other the way Jesus was. We get saved and we look around and, oh, we still hurt. We cut, we still bleed. We can't go through closed doors the way Jesus did. But folks, there's more to that than a physical creation. We are changed. I've been changed. I'm newborn now. My life has been rearranged. That which I used to do, I don't do anymore. Now I walk according to the Scripture. I walk according to the power of the Spirit. And we've got to remember that. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are gone. New things have come. Now, all of this, all of salvation, if you don't get it, get this. All of us being saved is God alone. God alone. We are saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. No one can boast about, well, I'm in heaven, look at what my good works on earth did. And then all of a sudden, the fire of the judgment seat, whew, wipes out all those good works. The good works won't count. They're not going to be effective. Good works won't get you to heaven. Giving a lot of money to the church won't get you to heaven. Being a good guy won't get you to heaven. You have to come by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and put your life in His control. Now, Paul said, this is all from God. Every bit of it. None of it is from us. So when God makes us a new creation, what He does is reconcile us to Him. Now get this. Reconciliation is the establishment of harmony and peace between enemies. It's taking people who were at enmity with God and now making them friends with God. Yea, even sons of God. Ah, when I am reconciled to Christ, when I am in Him and a new creature, I am now brought into a, into a fellowship with Him that transcends human relations. I can walk into the throne of God through prayer. Do you realize how powerful that is? Prayer, Jan and Steve already testified to it. How God is taking care of them in these days of homelessness. Steve, I'm sorry you had to live under the bridge, brother. Oh, I'm so sorry. Now, he was not that homeless. But you see, God takes care of us. I cannot even start to tell you about a healing that I had. It was there. I was positive for the COVID. I was working in the hospital around all those people. I was asthmatic. I'm over 65. I'm diabetic. I'm overweight. And by all measures, I should be dead today. You'll say, oh no, you just didn't have a bad enough case. Oh, listen, I've seen people come in our hospital. We had a 42-year-old this week, came in the hospital, lost his sense of smell, lost his sense of taste, and 5 days later, I'm walking out of the hospital with him on a funeral home cart. Folks, this is deadly stuff. And God healed us. You say, well, it must have been the medicine that you took. No. It was God doing it completely. My family's been through it. Julie's here today. Double dose of healing on her. We don't want to go back. And I mean, her lungs were so bad at one point that they said she'd never be able to sing or never be able to do anything without oxygen flowing. That was hard for our doctor to tell us that. But I'm telling you, if we are in Christ, we're a new creation. It's God who works in us, reconciling Himself to us. Notice it's not the other way. God is the one who chooses to save. Now, when Paul talks about being in Christ, it's really impressive. I think it's pretty easy. Look in verse 18. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, oh, for us to be in Christ is more than just singing joyfully when we all get to heaven. It puts a burden on us as children of God. It puts a burden on us to tell others, because we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And the Scripture tells us, to whom much is given, much has been required. I've been saved. I've been converted. I've been changed. And as a result, I've got to tell somebody about it. There was an announcement made in our hospital this week that we're going to start allowing a few of our volunteers to come back to the hospital and work. They're going to have to be tested, sure. They're going to have to do a lot of things to be able to qualify to get back in. They're going to open the gift shop that's been closed for a year. And you should have heard the hallelujahs that were going up. Wow! Our volunteers are coming back. They're coming back. And everywhere you turn, did you hear the volunteers may get to come back? Did you hear? Volunteers are coming back. And I got to thinking, boy, that's great news. Look! You've been reconciled to God. We've been reconciled to Him. And He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has been He has given us the opportunity to take that which was estranged from God, share the gospel with them, and bring them back to a fellowship with God. Reconciliation. Paul was excited because not only had he been saved, he wanted others to be saved as well. He was reconciling the world to himself. And when you look at that, Paul wrote, the world is going to be condemned if they don't get saved. Now, there's been a legislative act that they tried to push through. President Trump was president. He rejected it. But guess what? It passed this week, called the Equality Act. The Equality Act is the first step, I think, in locking down churches. If I stand up here and say that the church believes that marriage is between a man and a woman, they could consider that hate speech. Now think on that. I'm not opposed to a lifestyle that people want to live. I can't change that, but God can. And what we do is pray for them. We tell them of the gospel. I've worked with nurses who are not believers. They go out and do things that are totally wrong. And if I were to condemn them, or if I were to mention to them, it's not in their best interest to go out and drink and hustle every guy in the bar. They could say, well, Ricky, my goodness, you're supposed to love people. And here you are talking bad about how I act. All right, Lord, I got on the soapbox and you don't want me to do that. That's how I'm going to look at that. Let's get back to the scripture. When we stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, there are others who are going to say, you can't say that. We're not on the verge of shutting down the church right now, but we're going to be. God, however, has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We knew what this was when we were RAs back at Josephine Baptist Church. We would take the RA pledge. We would sing the RA song. And then we would quote the RA verse. And the more we said it, the more we quoted it, the more we sang it, the more it became part of us. I'm a stranger here within a foreign land. My home is far away beyond the golden strand. Ambassadors to be, to realms beyond the sea. I'm here on business for my King. This is the message that we bring. This is the message angels vain would sing. Oh, be ye reconciled, thus says my Lord and King. Be ye reconciled to God. And it comes straight out of this passage. Look at it, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. The big word, Prudy Lee taught us what that word meant. She said it means to be so in love with God. We want everyone to be in love with God, and it's our duty not to make them love God, but to encourage them. You see, one of the things about going out and telling people about Christ and soul winning, if you want to use that term, we're not responsible for the result. We are responsible for telling the story. You see, the Old Testament has that written all through it. When we read that if the lost man stays in his sin, he'll die in his sin. But if we do not tell him and warn him, he's still going to go to hell if he doesn't trust or believe, but his blood will be on our hands. Every person we come in with whom we come in contact should hear the gospel some way through us. There's a program that was running around here about 1990, 97, something like that. It was called Lighthouse Ministry. You put a sign in your yard, this is a lighthouse for God. And then you pledge to meet all of your neighbors all around you and tell them that your house is going to be a lighthouse. And on a certain night, pick your night, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever, you're going to be having prayer, and you're going to specifically pray for them, and you're going to invite them to come to your home for prayer. Or you're going to prepare a meal for them on a rotating basis and just take them something. You don't have to do anything fancy. A Stouffer's lasagna will work. I'll take one. Just drop it off. I know how to cook that. But we become lighthouses just in our community. And then we encourage them to become lighthouses to their other communities. Our chaplains are doing that to a degree. Our hospital, when we finish our paperwork after the death of one of our patients, we sit down and write a card, and we address it to that family, and we put a date on it up there in the right-hand corner where the stamp covers it. And on that date, 2 weeks from the day we write the card, we mail that card. So in about 15, 18 days, just about when everybody is leaving, all the families have gone home, the neighbors have forgotten about the death, they get a card from our department saying, "We have not forgotten you. We want you to know that we've had prayer over this card, that you would have peace." We get calls every week thanking us for that card. If I were to die today on the 7th, then I could expect in a couple of weeks to get a card. And yeah, you'd get the card, Julie. It wouldn't be me. I wouldn't get the card. My family would get the card. Let's reverse it. If Julie were to die today, I would get a card. There we go. We get calls thanking us for those cards. And one lady said, "We were afraid that our husband would not be remembered." Folks, we have to remember. We are ambassadors. We are the ones who are to go out and share the gospel. Paul is so very clear when he said, "In him we might become righteousness." How do we get that? We get the righteousness of God, beginning in verse 21. "For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God." In other words, Folks, if we're in Christ, we're new creations. If we're new creations, we are reconciled to God. And if we are reconciled to God, we are now ambassadors of reconciliation. And as we give that word of faith, we become the righteousness of God in Him. How much pressure does that put on us? None. Not a bit. But it also puts the pressure of eternity on us. Quite a bit. I'm going to give you 4 points real quick. And this will be kind of alliterated. It's not original with me, but I think you'll see it. Number one, the unbounded love of Christ. For the love of God, the love of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:14, constraineth us. It locks us down. His love permeates us. It's unbounded. He loves me when nobody else will. The unlimited atonement of Christ. The love of Christ constraineth us. But then it comes to verse 16, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. We come to a moment of unlimited atonement. And that's why I can stand up here today at about 9:45 and I can say to you, if you have never trusted Jesus, you can be saved today. The Bible is clear. Jesus died for the sins of the world, but we have to receive that death as ours. He was made sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. I am convinced totally and completely that there's not a single person that's listening to my voice today that if you choose to accept Christ as Savior, the Spirit is putting that there in your heart, you can be saved today. No one is exempt from salvation unless you choose to be. You can say, God, I know You died on the cross for me. I know that heaven is real, but right now I'm just not sure I want to be saved. I'm here to tell you that God's Spirit will not always strive with man. There comes a time when we will not hear that voice. And there comes a time when God's Spirit doesn't draw us and we become cold and hard. That's what our mission's all about. If you're in Christ, you can be a new creation, but you've got to want it. You've got to say, Lord, I trust You. But then there's the undiminished commission of Christ. Not only am I saved, I'm now an ambassador to tell others that I'm saved. And how do I do it? It's a simple thing. How you doing today? Have you had the COVID? No, you've been protected. That's great. You know, God has brought us to a point where we understand His sovereignty is over everything. When you attend church, which church do you attend? Oh, well, I'm a Baptist. I hadn't attended church in a long time. Well, you know, I've got great news for you. The good news is that God can tenderize your heart and God can save you right now, even though you were a Baptist. Baptist won't save you. You've got to come to the cross and just make it a practice it. Just make it flowing and say, you need to know Jesus today. We used to a lot, and now we're doing good and back to it. When we sit down at a restaurant, we'll say to our server, we did just the other day, and said to him, we're going to pray before our meal. Is there anything for which we can pray for you? And he said his mother had lost his sister. And he said, our family is grieving. Well, he went to the table behind us and we prayed. Mallory was with us and we prayed right there in the restaurant. Lord, thank you for the food. We thank you for the goodness of the day. And we ask you now, Lord, to be with our server's family in this time of grief. And when I said amen, I looked up pretty quick and he was just standing there like this. Folks, it takes nothing to do that. That's not embarrassing. You practice what you're going to say, and you say, we're going to pray before our meal here at the restaurant. Is there anything for which we can pray about you? We've had some say, no, I'm good. Just walk on. Well, that's fine. We then say, Lord, save that poor sinner. No, we don't do that. Somebody may hear it. But I'm an ambassador of Christ. Christians should balance a realistic assessment of my human frailty with the honor that Christ gives me. And when we do it, we hold fast to the faith in Christ. We receive the salvation He offers, and we offer it to others because we are ambassadors of His. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads very quietly. We're going to sing what we call a hymn of invitation. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive. Come and live forever. And this is my invitation to you. Wherever you are watching this, are you here in our congregation? Or you hear it on audio after we publish? You can come to Jesus today. You can be reconciled with God. You can live forever. Lord in heaven, touch our hearts now as we sing. Would you stand, please? And we'll sing it together. Come as you are. Wow. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive. Come and live forever. Life everlasting and strength for today. Taste that living water and never thirst again. Come just as you are. The Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come receive Christ the King. Come and live forever. Lord, just send me a text and we'll pray with you.